So a 54-year-old man presented with a T3N2 colon cancer in the descending colon, received 9 cycles of FOLFOX adjuvant therapy, terminated by grade 1 neuropathy that progressed to grade 2 2 months after therapy. 2 years later, his CEA was noted to be 4.5. Imaging showed a solitary lung nodule, 2 centimeters, and 3 lesions, all less than 3 centimeters, in the right lobe of the liver. PET showed the lung lesion had an SUV of 8.5, and all of the liver lesions had SUVs greater than 6. He underwent a wedge resection of the lung by VATS and then received 6 cycles of FOLFIRI bevacizumab. He was then re-imaged and had no new lesions. The liver lesions were stable by RECIST criteria, underwent a hepatic resection, and received 6 further cycles of systemic therapy. 18 months later, his surveillance imaging showed multiple pulmonary nodules, and he was restarted on FOLFOX. He's now at about 3 or so years from his treatment with calcium and magnesium.
What was the reason that the lung lesion was approached first and not?
Mostly because Larry Kaiser yelled at me once. thank God he's in Houston. Then, is that I was so proud of myself. He saw a patient, my patient consult, and I started the chemotherapy and basically had a CR in the lung. And when I sent him back to Larry, he said, "What do you want me to operate on? I can't see it." So that happens in the liver sometimes. So this was my learning curve, is it was easy to take something out by VATS. You didn't have to delay any particular treatment, and it was out. The unfortunate part at the end is he probably had other micrometastases in lungs that we just palliated rather than cured. So I did it in this direction rather than get again in the position in that case where the patient was in a CR in the lung. We had to wait about 15 months before the tumor grew large enough so that he could figure out how to do the VATS and how to take the nodule out.
Steve?
The term came up earlier, palliative surgery. And again, I guess I object to that word. I don't like to use words like debulking or palliative. But one of the things we all recognize is there are two groups of patients. We're talking about patients we're treating with curative intent here. And there certainly is a subset of patients that are alive, disease-free 5 years after treatment. There's another group of patients, possibly equal in size, who are alive at 5 years, but still with residual or recurrent disease. So what we're doing is we're shifting that survival curve over by these cases. So it would certainly suggest that there's a role for treating those lesions, again, lung, liver metastases, whatever it happens to be, with surgical treatment if you can do it safely, not affect the patient's quality of life. So that is a role. Again, I don't want to use the term palliative, but we can't really predict which patients are going to be cured and which aren't. So again, I guess I use as an example why it's important, even in Dan's case, that this man may not have been cured. He's alive and doing reasonably well several years after having all these procedures performed.
So, Mike, what about extrahepatic disease in the lung and also in the abdomen in terms of peritoneum?
We used to put a lot of emphasis in the site of the extrahepatic disease, and I think there's still, it's important. There are data to support liver and lung, perhaps more than liver and other sites. And while you can make a list, you know, that certain extrahepatic sites may portend worse and worse prognosis, one shouldn't have an absolute rule of what's an absolute contraindication, but certainly a periportal node, probably positivity, portends worse prognosis than a liver and lung. Perineal implant, similarly, is pretty poor, periaortic node, and so forth. But liver and lung, I think there are data to support that that's almost comparable to liver and liver. And I definitely would have offered a curative intent approach in this patient. The only thing we would have done differently is to do the liver and lung together. And in fact, the morbidity of liver and lung together is less than liver and sigmoid or liver and LAR. So,
what about peritoneum?
My philosophy is definitely it's a CR, highly selective, good biology, very rare to use that approach. And to do, you need to really get a CR. I'm not a fan of cytoreductive, incomplete chemotherapy, certainly in the setting of liver metastasis, and certainly not with intraperitoneal chemotherapy.
Any other comments about this case?